Happy Sabbath, everybody. Man, just because he's God. Even saying that gets you a little excited. Before we get started, just wanted to remind all of you about our preaching theme for the year. And that is connect. And like I said earlier this morning during the announcements, the idea is that we are connecting directly to Christ. We are connecting directly to a sacrifice. We are connecting directly to his teachings. We are directly connecting to our Savior. And we're looking at him as our leader. Not at anyone that's standing up here. Not at anyone that comes and sings. Not at anyone that reads the scripture. Not at anyone who teaches in Sabbath school. No, our leader is Jesus Christ. This is his church, and we want to make sure that we are constantly connected with him. And for this quarter, we are connecting to his purpose. Connecting to his purpose. So let's turn again in our words to John chapter 6, and I'll read verses 35 through 40 yet again in your hearing. It's John chapter 6, verses 35 through 40. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." Our sermon title for this morning is More Than Bread. More Than Bread. Let's pray. Father, we thank you always for your grace and your mercy and for your love. We've come here this morning, Lord, braving the cold, even the cold in the sanctuary, just to worship you, just to praise your name. And now, Lord, we're waiting to hear a word from you that comes on high. Set me to the side, Lord. I'm just your vessel. Use me. Speak through me. We're here to hear your voice, not mine. Lead us through your word, O Lord. Holy Spirit, descend upon us now and help us to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was studying and asking the Lord what direction that we should go through while we're talking about his purpose, he directed me to the book of John. When you go to the book of John, you'll find quite a few I am statements that Jesus gives. You'll find that in the book of John, there are five absolute I am statements, and there are seven I am statements that Jesus follows with a metaphor, explaining what it is that he means when he says, "I am." So when we're talking about Jesus' purpose, when you look at the book of John and you see those statements where Jesus says, "I am," you'll find that what Jesus is trying to do is he's trying to explain to us what his true purpose is. So for this quarter, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a few of these statements with you. So this morning, we're going to go through this first statement that we find in John chapter 6, verse 35. "I am the bread of life." So in order for us to understand exactly what Jesus is saying, you know what I like to do? We've got to put it in its proper context. We've got to find out what's going on so we can understand what it is that Jesus is actually trying to say. When you go back to the beginning of chapter 6 in John, you see a story that you've all seen and read probably hundreds of times. It's a story that you know very well. It's Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. Jesus is on a mountain, and he's been healing, and he's been teaching, and the people get hungry. Evening is coming, and they're ready for dinner, And Jesus knows that there's no food anywhere for these people to eat. So the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, there's nothing that we can eat. There's nothing that we can do to feed these people. What are we going to do? Well, Jesus says, well, give me something. So one of the disciples finds a little boy. He's got his little lunch with the, you know, the five loaves and the two fish. He gives them to Jesus. And Jesus does this miraculous thing. He takes the bread, he takes the fish, splits it apart, and feeds the 5,000 people. What's awesome about this story is in the Bible, it says that there were 5,000 men that were present. If you add in the women and the children, it's more than likely that there were over 20,000 people that Jesus fed with five loaves of bread and two fish. And let's take this a little bit further. You see, these five loaves were not these big old nice wheat loaves that we see on TV. We see the pictures and Jesus lifts the loaves in the air and breaks them in half. And it's such an amazing thing. What's really going on is the Bible says that these are barley loaves. They're the loaves of the poor. So these loaves are about this big. They could fit in the palm of your hand. These fish that Jesus gives, the two fish, they're not these big fish, nice sardines that the people went out and just caught. They're these little pickled fish. There's only two of them. Remember, this is a lunch for a little boy, and Jesus splits them apart and feeds over 20,000 people. When you read the book of John, it says that after the people were full, after the people were full, Jesus then has the disciples go out and pick up the leftovers. Now, when the disciples go and get the leftovers, the Bible says they put them in 12 baskets. But you, when you think of baskets, you think of these little things that you're holding. Oh, you get the little pieces and put it in the basket. No, these baskets were the size of coffee tables. They had to carry them with two hands. And they filled these baskets, 12 of them, with the fragments left over from the food that had filled them. I want to pause and say that there is no one that can bless you like Jesus can bless you. There's no one in this world that can take the little resources that you have and make them stretch and not only bless you, but bless the people that are surrounding you. Jesus is so powerful that he doesn't even need your resources to bless you. He can make something all by himself and use it to your benefit. God is good. Jesus is awesome. And when he blesses you, you know that it's only that him that could have done it. So Jesus feeds these 20,000 people. And the people are excited. They can't believe what's going on. They start whispering around each other, man, this must be the guy. This must be what the Bible says. They say this must be the prophet, the Messiah, the one who's been promised to us. And so what they do is they rush Jesus and try to make him king. Jesus wouldn't have any of this. So he went up on a mountain and told the disciples to go across the water. I'll meet you on the other side. So the disciples, you know, they hop in the boat. They go across the water. This is another sermon for another day. I'll tell you about that the next time I come up and preach. And the people go home with their bellies full, knowing that they had been blessed by God. They go to sleep that night, wake up the next morning, and they go back, the Bible says, to the exact same spot where Jesus fed them. And you see, remember, there's about 20,000 people that this happened to, so you know people spread the word. People start talking about it. So there were people in a town across the way who had hopped in their boats and also came out to see Jesus. I'm sure a few of them came out with their baskets. Everybody's looking around, waving. Did you see Jesus? Yeah. You hungry? I mean, I'm still kind of full. But I figure if Jesus can do that one thing again, maybe I can have some food for the week, you know. It's been a struggle. I've got some bread at home, but man, he said he had 12 baskets full. I brought two baskets with me this morning. Amen. So the people look for Jesus and they don't see him. They say, well, where'd Jesus go? And they remember that the disciples had gone across the water that night. So they said, well, maybe Jesus went with the disciples. We didn't see him get in the boat, but we'll check anyway. So they go ahead and they hop in their boats. They go across the sea and there they get to Capernaum and they see Jesus preaching in a synagogue. So first of all, they were a little confused because they weren't really sure how it was that Jesus got there. But they were excited nonetheless. They go and they see Jesus. And when you read chapter 6, verse 25, this is what they come and say. It says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? How did you get here, Jesus? How did you do this? They're so excited to see him. And Jesus, in verse 26, says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. It's not the answer we were looking for, Jesus. I'm sure the people were a little set back because they were excited to see Jesus. You would think that Jesus would be grateful to see the people so excited to come see him. You know, they're expecting him to do this other miracle again. But Jesus has a very different response from what the people were expecting. As a matter of fact, it seems like Jesus is kind of telling the people off, and he seems to be pointing at a problem that the people didn't realize that they had. So the people say, okay, all right, that's fine, Jesus. And when you continue reading, in verse 28, it says that they said to him, okay, well, what must we be doing to do the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may believe and see and believe and see you? See, what work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from on heaven to eat. So you see, what happens is the people got upset now because Jesus is being a little disrespectful. And they said, hold up, man. We've seen somebody give us bread before. What you did wasn't that special. I don't know if you remember this story, Jesus. I mean, we're in the synagogue. This is the place of teaching. So, you know, you got a Bible with you. Moses did this already. Moses gave us bread on high. So if you are saying that you're this Messiah dude, that's cool. But what is it that you can show us that hasn't already been done? Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And what's funny is even that response, they still didn't get it. They still thought Jesus was just talking about bread. So they said, okay, great. You got this bread that's going to fill us up forever. Lord, give it to us. Give it to us always. Let us always have this bread that's going to fill us forever. The problem that Jesus was trying to point out with these people was that they didn't really care about God. What he was trying to point out to them is that they had replaced God with miracles. They had replaced God with blessings. And what they hadn't realized was that they were so concerned about the bread that had filled their stomachs that they had forgotten the purpose of the filling in the first place. They had forgotten why God even gave them blessings. The people had replaced God with the blessing. And when that happened, they no longer were really looking for a savior. They were no longer really looking for the prophet. What they were looking for was a blessing. And they were hoping that the person that was the prophet would be a means to get the blessing. That's why when Jesus saw them coming, rushing him to make him king, he left. Because he knew that they weren't really looking at him to be a savior, but the people had an agenda, and they saw Jesus' power and knew that Jesus could accomplish that agenda. How many of us have replaced God with our blessings? How many of us are only looking for that physical bread instead of truly searching for the spiritual bread? You see, blessings are great. They're a wonderful thing. God blesses us greatly, doesn't he? We were just talking about how God blesses us. And man, when God blesses you, whoo, you got to tell somebody because it's amazing. But when you begin to look for the blessings more than you begin to look for God, it messes up your relationship, because you stop believing in God because you've only started to believe in the blessing. You see, there's a reason that we get so upset, so distraught, so angry with God when our lives don't go the way that we think they should go. When there's sickness in our lives, we get upset with God because the blessing of health has been taken away. When we lose our jobs, we get upset with God because the blessing of financial security has been taken away. We get upset with God when death reaches into our families, when death hits our friends, because God has taken the security of comfort away. We get upset with God when calamity comes into our lives. Why? Because we're not looking for God, we're looking for blessing. And when the blessing disappears, we automatically assume that God is a liar. We assume that God must not be who he says he is, because the bread that we were looking for has run out. You see, what we don't realize is the reason that we get so attached to blessing, the reason that we get so attached to this physical bread that we see in life, is because there's a void that's deep down inside of all of us. And what we're doing while we're going through this life is we're looking at how to fill that void with something. Now, when we see blessings come, and we recognize that when we're blessed, it's not something that came from us. A blessing is something that you could not do for yourself that happens to you, and it makes you feel good, right? So you recognize that there's a power outside of you that begins to help you, and when that happens, you begin to reach for the blessing. But you forget to reach for the power. Remember, the reason that you have the void is because there's sin in your life. The reason that you have a void is because God, who was once there at the beginning of time, because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and sin has continued to be with us up until this point, God separating from us has left a void that we need filled. And so we look for bread, for blessings. We hunger for something to fill the void. We're looking for something to give us life. That's what bread is. That's what bread meant to the people back then. You see, bread was the staple meal for the person living in Palestine. Bread was life. So when Jesus hears the people saying this, he says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. You see, what Jesus is trying to get us to understand when we read this text, when we're reading these verses, he's trying to help us to see that he is our bread. He's the thing that we've been searching for. He is the true life. And when we take part in Christ, when we take part in the Word, the true Word of God, we will be filled. Not with the life that we see here, but with eternal life. So when Jesus says, I am, remember, that's the I am statement. Ego eimi in Greek. I am that I am. I'm the one. I've been, I am, and I will continue to be. And now he qualifies that statement with saying, I am. I have been, I am, and what you will need to be, I'm your bread. I'm the thing that you need to fill that void inside of you. And he says that I'm the bread of life. Now, in Greek, this word life doesn't mean life as we know it. It doesn't mean just getting healed from your sicknesses. It doesn't just mean living a comfortable life. What Jesus is saying is that I am the bread of a transcendent life. I am the bread of the life that only God has. I am the bread that will fill you eternally. You see, Jesus wasn't just worried about your life here, because the fact is you're going to die. It's a fact. Now, some of us might live to see Jesus. I hope that's me. I hope that's some of us that are here. But if not, we're going to die. But what Jesus says is, I'm the bread of life. When you eat of me, you will live forever. You see, after this life is over, there's supposed to be a resurrection. And if Jesus is the life, the true life, the life that only God has, and you die connected with Jesus, you're just sleeping. You see, there's a life that Jesus has, and when you're connected with him, that life now transfers to you. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger and shall not thirst. Now, it's so interesting. I like this because he never says anything about drinking anything. I don't know about y'all, but I want to eat some bread, even if it's nice and moist, you know, the really good dinner rolls, like Hawaiian rolls. Get some Hawaiian rolls, man, the nice, moist, ooh, tasty. But even after I eat the Hawaiian roll, I'm still thirsty. Jesus says, when you eat of me, I'm the bread. Not only will you not be hungry, but you're not going to be thirsty, because I'm going to satisfy every need that you think you might have. You get hooked up to Christ, he starts satisfying needs that you don't even know you have. You see, when you're hooked up with Christ, he's the one who controls your present. He's the one who controls your future. So the things that you don't see coming up, Jesus has already taken into account of the things that are going to be coming up in your life. And what he's trying to do right now is fill you now, so when the things come up and happen, they don't affect you. You'll be fine. Why? Because you're full. Full of Jesus Christ. And when you're full of Jesus, that's when you find peace. When you're full of Jesus, that's when you find joy. When you're full of Jesus, that's when you find hope. Because you see, you can still be depressed and have all the money in the world. You can still lose your hope and have a comfortable job. You can still be lonely and have a full family. You can have all the friends in the world and be the loneliest person on the planet Earth. You can still die without Jesus. But when you die with Jesus, he gives you a promise that you're going to live forever, and that when this world is over, when these struggles are done, you're going to go to a place where there's no more sorrow. You're going to go to a place where there's no more depression. There's going to be a place for you where there's no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. And if you eat of me now, you can start living that life now. Jumping down to verse 37, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Now, this is interesting. In Greek, Jesus says never twice. He says, I will never, never cast you out. Now, when this happens in Greek, when this construction happens in this sentence, there are two ways that it could go. There are two meanings that it could have. One way means that there's a certainty in the never that will happen. So, an example. There's a mother and her son. They're getting ready to cross a busy intersection right in the middle of D.C. The son looks up at the mom and says, Mommy, I'm scared that I'm going to get hit by one of these cars when we cross the street. Mommy says, as long as you hold my hand, you will never be hit by one of these cars that are going across the street. That's the certainty. But you see, this is not what Jesus is saying. Because even though there's a certainty in what the mother is saying, there is still a potential that the child could be hit by a car. You see, the mommy could, you know, hold the baby, walk out, you know, but then the baby slips and falls, and, you know, there could be a random car that hits them even while they're holding hands. But there's a high, high chance that as long as the boy keeps his hand in the mother's hand, they'll be fine. But again, there's still a potential. When Jesus uses this construction saying that he will never cast you out, he's saying there's not even the potential that you will be cast out. It's like if the same conversation. You got the mother and the son. The son is sitting down in his house watching TV, and he sees a traffic jam in D.C. And he says, Mommy, I'm scared that I'm going to be hit by a car in D.C. going across the street. Mommy says, Son, we live in Missouri. We live in Missouri on a farm where people ride horses up and down the street. There's no way that you're going to get hit by a car in D.C. There's not even the potential that it would happen. As a matter of fact, what you're you're saying right now is so ridiculous that you might as well just go ahead and discard it. That is what Jesus is trying to say, that there is no potential that when you're connected with him that you will ever be lost. As a matter of fact, that idea that you would be lost when you're connected to Christ is so ridiculous that there's no need in even saying it. When you're inside Christ, you are safe, you are saved, and he will never, never cast you away. We're talking about a loving God. We're talking about a Savior that came down to this earth himself, chose to do it himself, chose to live a human life, put on flesh, go to a cross, and die for you. He chose to do that. His love for you is too amazing for him to let you go. And as a matter of fact, I know that even more because I continue to read the text. It says in verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." Jesus isn't the only one that's in on this. God the Father also wills that you would never be lost. This word will means that Jesus, that God himself, is literally acting to enact his will. That means that God is working to do everything that he can to make sure that you are safe and saved. So when you eat the bread of Jesus and God gives you life, God works to ensure that you never lose that bread, to ensure that you never go hungry, to ensure that you never spiritually go thirsty. He ensures that you will always stay with him. And God does what is necessary to make sure that you are never lost. Amen. Continuing on the text, getting down to verse 40. And I really believe that verse 40 is the most important text in this entire idea. Verse 40 says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is how we do it. Because think about it now. We've been talking about being connected to Christ, being connected to Jesus, and his purpose being to give you life. These are very abstract ideas. How am I supposed to be connected to the bread? We're talking about bread, and what are we talking about here? Jesus explains, everyone who looks on the Son and everyone who believes in the Son. Now, Jesus could have just said believe, but he gave us two steps, looking and believing. In Greek, this word look doesn't just mean a glance. This word look means to thoroughly examine, to peruse every part of Jesus. What you got to do when we're talking about truly coming to Christ, truly believing in Jesus, he asks you to put him to the test. He's asking you to examine him. He's asking you to ask him the hard questions. God is not afraid of you asking why. As a matter of fact, I'm sure he wants you to ask why so that he can give you the perfect explanation. God wants you to read his word. God wants you to put his words to the test. And I guarantee that when you look at God, when you truly examine Jesus Christ, there's nothing that you can do but believe in him. You see, what you don't realize is that when you're looking at Jesus and you start asking him the questions, and you start searching Jesus out for the truth to see if he's truly the one that should fill you, you begin to build a relationship with him because you're learning who he is. You're learning what it is that he has to say. So as you're looking at him, you're building a relationship. And as you build that relationship, you begin to believe. This word believe simply means to trust in completely. To fully and actively rely on Jesus. And when you take the time to examine him, to read his word, to truly pray, to take the time to get to know Jesus, you believe in him because you begin to trust him. Why? Because you've put him to the test. and he comes out as a winner in your life. That's why people get messed up. That's why people lose their faith when they don't see the blessings, because they forgot to look at Jesus and try to skip to believing in Jesus. You can't do it. If you don't know God, how can you possibly believe in him? It makes sense as to why people get so messed up when people say, you know, you watch TV and you got different preachers and things saying, oh, if you give this money, God's going to bless you. If you give and sow your seed of $100,000 today, God is going to increase your land, increase your money. God's going to give you everything that you need. I'm not going to tell you that God's going to give you everything you need. If you're homeless, you might stay homeless. If you're sick, you might not get better. If you've lost your family, you might never get them back. I'm not going to tell you everything's going to be okay. But what I am going to tell you is that if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, that ultimately, when this thing is done, everything is going to be okay. I can't promise you that the situation that you're in, you'll get out of right now. But I can promise you that when you close your eyes for the last time, that you will open them again as long as you stay in Jesus. I can't promise you that the things that you're looking for in life, you receive. But what I can promise you is that even though you don't find those things, you'll have peace. Why? Because you're not looking for blessings anymore. You're not just looking for bread anymore. Now you're looking for the true bread. You're looking for the I am. You're looking for Jesus Christ to fulfill your every need. And I know that because of his last statement. He says right here, I will raise him up on the last day. That's a promise. That's Jesus saying that I'm determined that when you stick with me, you'll have eternal life. Blessings will come and blessings will go, but I will remain. The things that you're looking for in life, your health, your family, your friends, just having a comfortable life in general, those things will come and go. Days are days. This world is full of sin. There are days where we're good. There are days where we're bad, but Jesus is constant. Jesus will always be there for you. Why? Because Jesus is more than just bread. Jesus is life. That's the purpose, one of the purposes of Jesus, to give you life. And the Bible says life that's more abundant than what you know now. Why? Because it's a life that only comes from God. Think about that. God is alive. That life that God has, you get to have. The life that God has, that's an eternal burning fire, he is offering to you for free. All he asks for you to do is look at the Savior and believe, and that life is yours. Fact is, life is hard. And it gets hard sometimes trying to remember that being in Jesus means eternal life. Sometimes it's hard even trying to think about that because you're like, but Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I need the money right now. Lord, I need to get well right now. I'm hurting right now. What I can tell you is that Jesus says that the pain isn't going to last always. It's not going to stay there forever. And if I can encourage you with these words this morning, letting you know that Jesus is your bread, that Jesus is your life, you just got to hold on. Hold on a little bit longer. You'll make it. Like I said, even if you die, you'll make it. Because on that last day, Jesus is going to come down to this earth. He's going to call your name. He's going to give you a brand new body. That cancer that's ragging you right now, it's going to stay in the grave. The abuse that you're experiencing right now, when you're gone, it ain't coming back. It's going to be over. And that's a promise from the King of the universe that he will give it to you. as long as you believe in him. My appeal for us this morning is for those of you that need to believe. There are so many of us that have been looking for the bread, that we've been looking for something to fill us up. Fill up on Jesus. He says right here, he's the bread of life. Is this what it is that you're looking for this morning? Are you looking for an answer? Are you looking for that bread? Are you looking to be filled? I'm asking that if that's you this morning, that you'll come down and give your heart to Jesus. When you look at Jesus, I guarantee you're going to see someone who loves you. You're going to see someone who wants nothing but the best for you. And when you fill yourself with Jesus Christ, you'll never go hungry. Yes, crisis will come in your life, but you'll not be left wanting. If it's you, come down. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about what people say. You've got to connect yourself to the bread. I can't do it for you. The person that's sitting next to you can't do that for you. You have to believe in Jesus for yourself. Connect to Jesus. Connect to God. Maybe you want to switch to this being your home church. Maybe you want to make this the place that you worship. Come down, tell us. If you're online, email and talk to one of our pastors that are online right now. Tell them that you need the prayer. Tell them that what you're looking for. We're here for you. Jesus is here for you. If no one will come, then let's stand and pray. And if this is something that's inside of your heart and you didn't come down, don't worry. This prayer is still for you. Jesus still wants to be a part of your life. You're coming down and just showing everyone else here about the decision that you've made. But make that decision even at home. Make that decision now while you're sitting in the pew. Make Jesus your bread. Fill your life with him. Take part of God. And I guarantee he'll never let you down. Let's pray. Jesus, we are looking at you now. We're looking at you now, Lord. And we're taking the time even now to recognize who you are. You've told us in your word that you are the bread of life. I don't have to look at the things that are good that happened to me in this life. I don't have to rely on blessings to fill me. Is it wonderful when you bless us? Yes, it is. And there's nothing wrong with the blessings that you give. And we praise your name for those blessings. But Lord, what we're saying is that we're not just going to rely on blessings to make it through this life. Those blessings are not our God. You are our God. And Lord, we're looking to you now for a connection from you that will never run dry, that will never go empty. And we're asking, Lord, that you would fill us now. Holy Spirit, fill us now with you so that we can be connected with you always. So that when the bad times come, when the blessings run out, and there's nothing left for us to see, we'll still be able to see you. We'll still be able to hold on to you. And we'll still be able to hold on to the blessing and the hope that you give. Give us peace, O Lord. And help us to give you our hearts. We ask these things, O Lord, in the loving, wonderful, merciful, powerful name of Jesus Christ.